Have you ever noticed how the moments that break us open are often the ones that change us most? There's something profoundly paradoxical about human transformation. We grow most when everything falls apart. This isn't just poetic wisdom, it's a truth that millions have discovered through one of the most honest spiritual books ever written. What makes this teaching so powerful isn't its promise of peace or happiness, but its radical acceptance of chaos itself. We live in an age that sells us certainty, productivity hacks, wellness routines, five-year plans, yet life keeps delivering exactly what we're trying to avoid: uncertainty, loss, and groundlessness. The question isn't whether things will fall apart. They will. The question is whether we'll let that breaking open become our awakening. We've been taught to treat fear as a problem to solve, an emotion to overcome, a weakness to hide. But fear is actually an invitation. When we step toward anything real, a difficult conversation, a creative risk, genuine intimacy, fear shows up like clockwork. This isn't a design flaw. It's how we know we're approaching something that matters. Think about the last time you felt truly afraid, that visceral, heart-pounding sensation of standing at the edge of the unknown. Most of us have perfected the art of escape through busyness, distraction, substances, or simply shutting down emotionally. But when we sit with fear without trying to fix it or make it disappear, something remarkable happens. The fear transforms. It becomes less solid, less overwhelming. We discover we're bigger than the fear itself. True bravery isn't being fearless. It's becoming intimate with fear itself. When we stop running and stay present with our terror, the fear loses its grip, not because we've conquered it, but because we've stopped treating it as the enemy. There's a moment many of us know, standing in the wreckage of what we thought our life would be. A divorce, diagnosis, betrayal, or the slow realization that our story no longer fits. Everything crumbles, our identity, plans, carefully maintained self-image. We call this a breakdown, but what if it's a breakthrough? When the ground disappears, we discover we never had solid ground to begin with. We've been standing on stories, roles, ideas about who we should be. Consider losing something that defined you. The job that gave purpose, the relationship that made you whole, the health you took for granted. Beyond the grief, if you don't rush to rebuild, something unexpected emerges. Tenderness, openness, a strange aliveness unavailable when everything felt secure. This groundless place makes real transformation possible. Not self-improvement, where we become better versions of ourselves, but discovering we were never who we thought we were. Healing isn't reaching some final okayness, it's learning to allow room for all of it. When life collapses, you're at a threshold. You can shut down in resentment, trying to return to what was, or you can touch that raw, throbbing quality of being alive in this unfamiliar territory. The choice creates your future. We treat uncomfortable emotions like unwanted guests, rushing to show them the door. Anxiety? Take a pill. Sadness? Distract yourself. We've become experts at avoiding the very feelings that could set us free. Here's a different approach. What if every uncomfortable emotion is a messenger pointing toward exactly where you're stuck? That anxiety before the presentation shows where you're clinging to a particular image of yourself. That disappointment when plans fall through reveals how tightly you're gripping expectations. That embarrassment when you make a mistake exposes the gap between who you pretend to be and who you actually are. This moment, whatever you're experiencing right now, is the perfect teacher, not some idealized future moment when you're calmer or wiser. This one, with all its messiness and imperfection. The practice isn't about becoming a good meditator, it's about being more awake to your actual life as it unfolds. Imagine you're stuck in traffic, late for something important. Your mind spirals, blame, anxiety, catastrophizing. Instead of escaping into fantasy or fueling your anger, simply notice the tightness in your shoulders, the heat in your face, the racing thoughts. Not to fix them, but to see them clearly. Real practice happens in the chaos of everyday life. The spiritual path means learning to let the energy of emotion pierce you without either indulging it or pushing it away. When you reach your limit, that moment when you want to shut down or run away, you're actually reaching the threshold of something new. That uncomfortable edge is where growth lives. How do you talk to yourself when you mess up? Most people have an inner critic so harsh it would qualify as an abusive relationship. We speak to ourselves with cruelty we'd never direct at a friend, then wonder why we're anxious and depressed. Self-kindness isn't about positive affirmations. It's developing unconditional friendship with yourself exactly as you are. This means making space for the parts of you that are fearful, selfish, petty, and confused, not trying to fix them, but actually befriending them. Notice how you respond to your own suffering. When struggling, do you offer compassion or pile on judgment? I should be over this. Other people have it worse. We've become experts at dismissing our own pain, which only creates more pain. The alternative? Treat yourself the way you'd treat someone you love going through a hard time. When you stop running from your experience, when you can sit with shame, jealousy, or rage without needing to act out or shut down, those emotions lose their power to control you. They're just weather passing through. Behind the mental chatter is something unchanging, basic awareness itself, always available, always kind. We've built a civilization around avoiding discomfort. Anxious? There's an app. Bored? Scroll endlessly. We have more escape routes than ever and more anxiety than ever. Maybe the problem isn't that we need better coping mechanisms. Maybe it's all the coping. The practice of refraining is simple. When you feel the urge to escape, to check your phone, pour a drink, start an argument, just pause. Don't act on the impulse. Stay with the discomfort. This creates a gap between impulse and action. In that gap, everything changes. You discover that uncomfortable feelings won't destroy you, that beneath the restlessness is something deeper, a groundlessness that's both terrifying and liberating. What if you stopped filling every moment? What if you sat with boredom instead of scrolling? This isn't masochism. It's discovering that the discomfort you've been running from is actually bearable. By staying present with what is, rather than reaching for what might feel better, you develop genuine strength. Not the brittle strength of control, but the flexible strength of someone who can be with anything. Nothing lasts. Relationships, health, achievements, life itself. We know this intellectually, but live as if we don't, building happiness on things guaranteed to change, then feeling betrayed when they do. Accepting impermanence means loving things fully while they're here, without clinging. It means building sandcastles with complete dedication, knowing the tide will wash them away. The trick isn't avoiding attachment, it's enjoying what's here without demanding it last forever. This is the liberating power of hopelessness, not despair, but releasing the fantasy that life will ever be permanently secure. When you stop hoping for some future moment when everything will finally be okay, you can actually be present for your life as it is. We swing between pleasure and pain, praise and blame, success and failure. What if you found stability not by controlling which side you're on, but by recognizing both are temporary? Your worth doesn't depend on whether you're currently winning or losing. The world isn't getting more stable. Climate change, political upheaval, economic uncertainty. We can spend our energy trying to return to some imagined stability, or we can learn to dance on shaking ground. This isn't just personal practice anymore. It's how we show up for a world that needs people who can stay present with chaos without adding more aggression to it. You can't fix the fundamental uncertainty of existence, but you can stop being at war with it. Your moments of greatest difficulty aren't obstacles to your spiritual path. They are the path. Every time life falls apart, you have a choice: contract in fear or open in tenderness. That choice, made repeatedly in ordinary moments, transforms not just your life, but the world around you.